You are watching the Hoop Central podcast right here on Spirit Live. Hey, how is it going, everyone? Welcome back to the Hoop Central podcast, the best place for a different perspective when it comes to the world of basketball, whether that is the NBA, NCAA, G League, WNBA, anywhere. You got it right here. I'm your host, Nakeem Khan. Alongside me is none other than my boy, Malik Mata Marrera. Yes, I'm going the full name this time.
Woo!
Malik, how are we doing today?
You know, Sunday, 5:49 p.m. It's been a productive...
It looks like it's 10 p.m. outside.
It looks like it's 10 p.m. outside. That time change is hitting different. Can't lie. But regardless, I'm still feeling fantastic. Productive, yet fantastic.
Before we get into what we really want to talk about this episode, some news broke out, I believe, today.
Late afternoon.
The Sacramento Kings finally got rid of their head coach, Luke Walton. And I mean, I've been someone who has been waiting for this day, and it's finally coming. I can bet Sacramento fans are happy. And before we really talk about our thoughts, Malik, this is a crazy stat to me, but within the last 15 years, the Sacramento Kings have had 10 different coaches. Since the last time they made the playoffs with Jason Williams and Chris Webber, There has been over 30 head coaches that have coached the Sacramento Kings.
I want Sacramento just to find that coach. You know, their interim coach is going to be Alvin Gentry. Heard. So could be.
Is that confirmed or is that just speculation?
Like, I think that is confirmed.
Okay. Because I know it was between Alvin Gentry or Doug Christie.
Doug Christie. I heard Mike D'Antoni's name here and there too.
Yeah. But I guess since they're assistant coaches, it's easy to bring them in as the interim.
Ultimately, Alvin Gentry's in. I guess it's a bittersweet moment. Hopefully he could be that diamond in the rough for Sacramento Kings because, you know, a lot of distraught players, Tristan Thompson's comments last week. Mm-hmm.
De'Aaron Fox even had a comment that looked a little, you know, not the best if your star player saying that. This is actually insane. Luke Walton is the second winningest coach in Kings franchise history.
Holy smokes.
And I believe he's behind Rick Adelman,
Rick OG.
Adelman's one of the greatest coaches in NBA history in terms of like winning amount of games won. And I was watching Kenny Beachum.
Shout out, Kenny.
He did a great video, and I think you guys should all watch it on his channel called Kenny for Real, I believe it's called.
Kenny for Real. He's doing the series right now. I love that series.
Doing it great. And he basically talked about this firing, and he said how when Dave Yeager was the coach of the Kings, they were fifth in pace in all of the NBA.
Wow.
Which makes sense. You have De'Aaron Fox, who's one of the fastest players in the NBA. When Luke Walton came the next season as the coach, they dropped all the way to 20th. And I think that is like a huge red flag because you have a guy like De'Aaron Fox. You have a young team. You should be playing fast. You should be running up and down the court, trying to get as much transition opportunities as possible. But I think it's about due time. It just felt like it waited so long. I don't understand why you went through the whole offseason recognizing that there was a problem with your coaching position, and now you're going into the season 16 games in, and now you fired your coach.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that in the offseason they should have evaluated the coaching staff and determined whether they wanted a new coach or not, and I think they should have fired Luke Walton ahead of the beginning of the season, not 17 games in. You're sitting 6-11, 12th in the conference, and you're approximately 9 games back from the first seeded Warriors. So it's a very interesting position you're in. Not a lot of positive problems, like they say. You kind of have to reevaluate. Alvin Gentry is going to have a lot of pressure coming in, but I think that they have no choice but to treat him nicely.
I think it's time we shift gears a little bit. This guy really just started beatboxing in the middle of the podcast. Only you could count on Malik to do that. But
indeed,
I think it's safe that we could, you know, look into our mid. Well, this is not mid-season awards, but
quarter season awards.
Quarter season awards for the NBA season so far. And I mean, I think this is the best time to do it because after like, there's been players within the first week or two that probably were like number one or two, and they kind of fell off a little bit.
Yep.
But there's also been guys who have been there from the very jump who are still up there. So I think it's interesting to see who we're going to have. And you know, Malik is someone who has some really controversial opinions. I mean, this is the same guy who originally had Miami being the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference.
Hey, get ready.
Then again, that could end up being the case. They kind of slowed down a little bit. But Malik, I'm intrigued to see where this goes. But you know what? Let's start off with Rookie of the Year. Let's go with your number. We'll go from number three and then we'll go upwards to number one and see how our lists shape up.
All right. So Cade just came back from injury. Mobley just got an injury. So
yeah,
Cade's starting to come up a little bit right now, but he is my honorable mention at the moment because at number three, I have Chris Duarte.
Chris Duarte, okay.
Duarte is my number three. I noticed the plus-minus ratio.
He's been out too, no? Or did he come back recently?
I think he's back.
Oh, he's back now?
I think he's back. But
I mean, he missed a few games.
The plus-minus ratio with Chris Duarte on and off the court is outstanding. Like, he's 24 years old. Obviously, he's not a raw prospect. He's an NBA-ready prospect.
Yeah.
So, he could get...
He's like 24, 25.
Yeah, he's like 24. He's younger than Gary Trent. And,
yeah, definitely.
And, you know, I think that he's going to be very good. And I think that Pacers have a good enough squad to compete. They just have to formulate the rotation and see how many minutes each player is going to get. But Chris Duarte is definitely my third spot. I think there's a lot of time for him to improve his jumper and his defense as well. And in the next couple of years, he's going to be a stud. So that's my number three.
I did have him at number three originally, or as to say, beginning of the season. But he is not at my number three right now. He's not even on my top three at all. So I'm already coming in with a controversial pick, but
I'm ready.
I would have him at my honorable mention. I just think he cooled off a lot. And right now with Caris LeVert, when Caris LeVert came back in the lineup, it kind of took away some of his shine and his touches, obviously. But at number three, I have Franz Wagner from the Orlando Magic.
I love that pick.
He has been playing amazing. I mean, defensively, I didn't expect him to be as good as he is. He kind of has lived up to like a leadership role, and he has been much better than Jalen Suggs has been
much,
so far this year.
Much better.
Like, there's some games that they've won because Franz Wagner has been amazing. Obviously, Cole Anthony, but we could talk about Cole Anthony another day. But I'll put that I have Franz Wagner at number three, and I just love his game. I love what he's doing. He's someone I didn't even really do a lot of research in coming into the season or going into the draft even. I didn't know his type of game style, but I knew he had a lot of hype. But I had to have Franz Wagner.
Yeah, 6'9".
6'9". He has, great length. He can really handle the ball too. He has a lot of potential. I think Orlando got a steal with him, being able to get him where they did. I'm putting my bias to the side. So for those who know, I'm a Raptors fan, but I'm putting my bias to the side.
Me here. Me too.
But I have Evan Mobley at number two. He has been amazing. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, he has been amazing, phenomenal. I didn't expect him to be this good so early on in his NBA career, you know. His length, the way he's able to move on defense, on the perimeter, when guarding guards, whether that's in the post, guarding big men, he can jump, he can finish at the basket. And one thing I like about him is he doesn't play a style of basketball that isn't natural to him. He does not fall in love with three-point shot. He stays close to the rim, gets his little post hooks, free throw line, push shots, mid-range jumpers. He does all the simple stuff that you ask him to do, and then he can also stretch it out to the three and hit it whenever he needs to, but he won't rely on it as a source of offense.
Hey, you can go ahead and say your number one if you want, because I think we got the exact
then we got the same list. I won't go that much into my number one. I'll let Malik take all the shine with this one. But Scottie Barnes has been absolutely amazing. And I believe he's leading the rookies in rebounds a game. He leads them in scoring a game. He's just been amazing. I think not only that is he's coming into a situation in Toronto where many nights he's the best player on the team.
Mobley number two, Scottie number one. Those two have just been, you know, in a dogfight back and forth, trying to get first spot in that Rookie of the Year ladder. But, you know, Scotty ultimately comes out on top. As a Raptors fan, it's tough to admit that he has slowed down a little bit, but that is due to Siakam reemerging and coming back into the starting five. So the Lakers are going to have to figure out, should we start Scotty with Siakam, or should we bench Scotty and then give him the same amount of minutes as a starter coming off and being the sixth man for that Raptors young squad? And Mobley's doing amazing. I think that dynamic duo between him and Jared Allen is absolutely wow.
Cleveland has been a surprise too. We definitely got to talk about Cleveland in the future episode because they have been very surprising.
Cavs, man. And Ricky Rubio, just that's another story. That's
Ricky Rubio is someone else. If there was a comeback player of the year, I think you could give that to Ricky Rubio. But we talked about rookie of the year. Let's go into our defensive player of the year, because I believe this one's a hard one. This was a really hard one. I think out of all of them, I would say for me personally, defensive player of the year is the hardest, because there isn't a clear-cut favorite like there is with the majority of these awards. But Malik, at number three, I got Bam Adebayo. I wanted to put him higher, but I like the names that have higher a little bit more.
I put Bam at three, too. Crazy.
Okay, we're thinking alike. I like that. I don't feel too bad about it anymore. But if you look at the stats against when some of the elite centers have went up against the Miami Heat, Bam has completely shut these guys down. Like, I mean, his defense, his one-on-one defense has been so great. And I mean, so great to the point where even if his offense isn't as good as it was in his all-star season, I think he's still going to make an all-star team because that's how good his defense has been. He's been one of the pillars for the Miami Heat, and he has really turned himself and made himself into one of the most feared presences when you go into the paint. I mean, obviously we look at the bubble and he had that crazy block on Tatum, but now he's doing things where he is preventing you from even getting to your spot to get a dunk or get a layup. He's just that great defensively, and he has all the tools. Yep. But I got Bam Adebayo at number three.
Absolutely agree. I think that his size is very underrated, and you know, a lot of larger centers think they can take advantage, but they actually can't, because Bam takes advantage of the opponent's offensive sequences at time, and he reads it. I got Gobert at number two. This is. I think you might know. You know where I might be going in this, but
I think so.
Gobert has won it all the time. He's still doing amazing. He's this guy's just standing there waiting. He's the number one defensive center in the league. Absolutely.
Sorry to cut you off right now, but do you think that, let's say, Gobert might be the favorite, right, for this year? Let's say by the end of the season he might be the favorite. Do you think there's going to be a little voters fatigue with him being number one all these years? Do you think they're going to be like, you know what, we voted him so much, why not give the award to someone else? Do you think that could happen with Gobert?
I think so. It's almost like the no.
Okay.
I think it might not be the case, but we'll see what happens. Well, you know, Lou Williams, Jamal Crawford had that going on with the Sixth Man of the Year award, where, like you said, that voters fatigue.
LeBron James definitely had that.
LeBron James, too.
He could have won it so many years. Michael Jordan could have won it so many years. At number two, I don't have Rudy Gobert. I actually don't have Gobert on my top three at all.
I love that.
I'm really being a little out there with my list right now, but
I love that.
This one might be controversial. It definitely is.
Oh yeah.
I think people are gonna be like, what is this guy? Does this guy even watch basketball?
Yeah.
But at number two, I have Alex Caruso.
You know what? I've seen a couple highlights since he's nice.
I have Alex Caruso, and just because I feel like his impact to that Bulls defense, they're not as good defensively. Oh wait. No, they're better defensively than they are offensively. And I think a major reason of that is because of Alex Caruso. Obviously, Lonzo Ball is a big defender as well.
Yep.
But Caruso, that perimeter defense, he's been guarding the best player majority because he's playing that guard slash wing position. So he's guarding a little bit more of the forwards as well. And he has been amazing. I've been in love with his defense. I could be having a little biased opinion with this, but he has one of the best instincts when it comes to perimeter defense in the NBA. He's able to move his feet very quickly, shuffle them, be able to get in front of the defender. And one thing that I like about him, he plays defense with his feet rather than his hands.
I honestly will respect that. How about Justin, though? Would Justin respect that?
Justin would literally go off on me. He would be like, Alex Caruso, the ball guy? You really think he's going to... Hey. I'll love to go beer, but you know, I gotta go on a limb sometimes.
Yes,
but
sir.
With number one, these guys that I've mentioned on my list are great individual defenders. But this first guy, he is a good individual defender, but he's arguably one of the best team defenders. Like, he makes everyone on the team play better defense just being on the court. And I think Malik knows where I'm gonna go with this, but I gotta go Draymond Green. Is that not who you thought I was going with? Okay.
I'll go with someone else.
Okay, we're going to hear it, but I got to go Draymond Green. I mean, obviously the Warriors are the best team in the NBA right now. They're not only are they the best offense, they're also the best defense. And one of the major reasons is because of Draymond Green. He orchestrates. You can see him if you watch them play defense. There's times where he is literally shouting at guys to go to certain places on the court to prevent a play from happening before it ends up occurring. That IQ is unreal. I got Draymond number one, but I am so intrigued to hear what you got to say, because if it's not Draymond, I have no idea.
I don't even have Draymond in my top three, obviously. That is crazy, because the reason is because I feel the same way for Draymond as I feel for Rudy Gobert. They both get voted similar awards, and you know, the voting fatigue, like you said, but I'm going, this is my most controversial one, like for this whole list, for sure. Okay. He has plus 24 in the whole entire season. He's a shooting guard.
No way you're going to do this.
He is averaging 2.2 steals per game. He defensive efficiency is through the roof and top five in the Eastern Conference.
No way you're doing this right now. Can't believe it.
And his name is GT3.
Oh my goodness, you actually did it.
His name is GT3.
I was so close to doing it, but I thought it was just... explain yourself.
Hey, like you said, this is your Alex Caruso pick. This is my almost pick that. This is Gary Trent. I am, you know, this is my biased cap coming off, because I am like thoroughly impressed by Gary Trent Stevens. I never thought someone could develop like that in the offseason, 4 or 5 months after. So I'm really and utterly impressed by Gary Trent's defense. He's playing better than anyone on this Raptor squad right now on the other side of the court. He's reading defenders. He's savvy. He gets up on you. And he seems like he never gets tired. He has, you know, one of those NBA 2K badges, tireless score and pickpocket. So he's just going crazy. And his shooting is actually good too. So it's benefiting. He's a space creator. The offense kind of has to think on the spot because Gary Trent reads it a lot. And I mean, I'm really proud of him. And I think he's the best fitter of the Raptors, one of the best in the Eastern Conference. Wow.
I like how we're going with this. The fact that it's so different. I'm so amazed that you didn't have Draymond and that you had Gary. That's actually great. As soon as you said shooting guard, I was like,
I already knew it.
But let's keep it moving. I think that one was one of the hardest ones and probably the lengthiest conversation we're going to have with it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Let's move on to most improved. I think this one's a pretty straightforward one. I'll start it off at number three. I think this guy has been probably one of the biggest surprises for me, but I just think that there's been two other players who have elevated their game even more.
Yeah.
And I got to go Miles Bridges. At number three. I did not expect him to be as good as he has been this season. I mean, imagine if the Hornets didn't have him, their record would be even they'd be atrocious. They've been pretty good, but he's been carried them a lot of nights. But offensively, I didn't expect him to be able to develop in the way that he has. He went from a guy who was known as just a dunker, and now this guy has been able to add some shooting to his game. He can take it off the floor, take it off the dribble, I mean, and get to the rim and get to his spots. I like Miles Bridges back on my number three.
Osbridge is my number three as well. Absolutely. Okay. So we're on the same page. He's doing his thing. I think he dropped like a career high last night. 35 piece right there.
Yeah.
So the 35 piece McNugget. This is an interesting one. You may not have the same one. I got DeJounte Murray at number two.
That's a good one. I didn't even have him on my list though.
Greg Popovich went to the season. He said, "Hey, DeJounte, what up, bro?" And DeJounte said, "What up?" And Greg Popovich said, "I'm giving you the keys. We're a developing team. Lead this team. You are officially the floor general of the team." And he's absolutely rocking that role right now. You have developing players like Kellen Johnson, Lonnie Walker, Devin Vassell, who has been crazy this season. Very good. And DeJounte Murray is providing everyone with open looks. And he's being that floor general that San Antonio needs. I hope he doesn't get traded. And I hope he's there for the foreseeable future. But DeJounte Murray is my number two.
That's a great pick. I'd probably have him as my honorable mention.
Nice.
But this one, you might not like it. You might like it. I'm not sure. But at number two, I got Ja Morant.
Okay, I like it.
Ja Morant, and the reason I have Ja is because if you look at his stats, last year he averaged 19.1 points per game, about 7.4 assists, and if you look at his shooting splits, he shot only 48% from the field, and from three-point range he shot 30%, and now if you look at this year, he's upped his totals by almost about 6 points at 25 points per game. His assists have went down a little bit at 7. Rebounds have went up to about 6 rebounds a game. Whew. And then his free throw percentage has went up 78%. Free throw percentage has went up drastically at 54%. Wow. From the field. And his three-point percentage has also went up to 36% from the field. Overall, he's just become a more efficient player, and he has just been impacting even more.
Got Ja Morant at number one.
Okay.
So I got Ja Morant. Okay. I got Ja Morant at number one. So, you know, not bad, not bad. We just switched positions, but...
Do you think you could guess who my number one is?
No, I actually can't. I'm, like, dumbfounded right now. I can't even guess who your number one is. I can't wait to hear it, but you said it all about Ja Morant. Up to usage rate. Up to his overall stats, when you have your usage rate higher, your turnovers increase. But Memphis on a bit of a cold streak right now, and Ja Morant has to step it up a little bit, and the entire rest of the roster for sure. But he's just entering that stage of stardom right now, and he can feel it, and he's riding the wave. So Ja Morant is my number one.
So
I'm ready to hear this.
My number one is a guy who is out on a mission this year to prove the doubters wrong. There's been a lot of haters around this guy's name.
Oh, I might know. Okay.
Saying that he's not as good as people say he is, or he's overhyped.
Oh, I might know. I might know.
He was a one season wonder, but he has been turning things around the narrative and has been playing great. And he could possibly leave this season with 2 awards when it's all said and done. But I got Tyler Hero as my most improved player. If I look at Tyler Hero, last year he averaged about 15 points per game. He was decent. He shot about, let me see if I got the percentages right here. He shot about 44% from the field, not the best, but it was average. He was not really impacting the game that much, especially coming off the bubble season. But now if we look at his stats this year, coming off the bench, he's averaging 21 points per game. He has been impacting the game on so many levels. His free throw percentage is up to 87%. His field goal percentage has went up a little bit as well at 46%. And, you know, he also shoots the 3 ball well, around 40% from 3. So Tyler Hero, he's been amazing. I think he's definitely surprised me because I did not expect this from him. But I got Tyler Hero at number one for my most improved player. Let's go into sixth man of the year. Sixth man of the year. I think this one is another clear-cut one. I'll start it off. At number 3, I got Alex Caruso.
Oh, my goodness.
You can see the Caruso love is large here. You would think I'm a Bulls fan, but I'm not. I just think Alex Caruso has been one of the best players off the bench this year. I already talked about him a lot. Nothing more left to say, but Malik, what's your number 3?
I don't have Alex Caruso on this list, unfortunately, but I wish him nothing but the best. At number 3, he's starting right now, but he is the sixth man for this season. I got Dennis Schroeder at number 3.
Okay.
For me.
Okay. Okay. He's
been, you know, as a bench, as a bench scorer, his numbers have been a little bit depleted, but as a starter, he's going crazy. Mm-hmm. And if he could generate those numbers off the bench as well, especially with Jaylen Brown coming back, though he'll be sent down the bench, I think he could be outstanding and, you know, rejuvenate that skill set that he had in Atlanta in the young days. So I think Dennis Schroeder's been absolutely
even in the OKC days.
Even in the OKC days too, absolutely. So, you know, Dennis Schroeder, I think if he's in the right mindset, he contribute, then I think Boston should have no problem making a top 7-8 seed for sure. So Dennis Schroeder is my number 3. I believe in him. He's doing his thing. I think this week has been his best week.
Yeah.
Playing basketball. He's been killing it. So Dennis Schroeder is my number 3.
Number 3. I like that. And at number 2, I think there's only 2 guys to have in this 1 and 2. I think we're going to have the same ones. I'm not going to say that much because I believe there's not really much to say. A bona fide scorer. He's going to drop points for you. He's literally the definition of a microwave. He averages sometimes more points than a bunch of starters, but I got Jordan Clarkson at number 2. I think he's going to be really good off the bench as he always is.
Me too.
But nothing really much to say about Jordan Clarkson. You know what you're going to get from him, and he does it to the best of, I think, in the NBA. If it comes to scorers off the bench, arguably Jordan Clarkson is the best.
I also have Jordan Clarkson as my number 2. So I think we all know who number 1 is.
I guess we know where number 1 is. Malik even mentioned that. I mentioned that as well. But nothing really much to say, but Tyler Hero has,
I was going to say Jack Carlo. I'm only kidding.
He said Jack Carlo. But Tyler Hero, nothing much left to say. He's been doing his thing. We already mentioned him. But we got Tyler Hero number 1. That leaves us with 2 awards left. And I believe there's not really much to say about these because I feel like these are so clear cut. Well, not really. The coach of the year, doesn't really deserve that much discussion on it, but we'll go into it and discuss it. For Coach Aware, number three, I got Billy Donovan of the Chicago Bulls.
Very nice. Me too.
You got him as well. So I like everything he's doing with them, and he's utilizing his team. One thing I like is using Javonte Green has been like a starter for them, and that's a guy who barely got minutes in Boston, and he's been impactful for the Chicago Bulls. And another guy he's been using a lot and he's really made a good call on is Ayo Dosunmu, who's been a great piece off the bench for them. But I love what Billy Donovan has done there in Chicago, utilizing those players. And I got him at number three.
Number two, I have a kind of like a tie. Okay. It was tough. So I got,
you're going to be two people at number two.
I think I got two at number two, but you, I think you're going to be mad at this. I got Steve Kerr, Monty Williams on the tie right now. So who can be my number one?
I know who your number one is. I know who your number one is.
I got Steve Kerr, Monty Williams on the tie right now. One of them who go to the honorable mentions. Steve Kerr is an amazing coach, but the way the Warriors rotation is, it's just like, is it the team or is it the coach or is it the collective? I would say it's a bit of both. It's a collective for sure, but I wouldn't give Steve Kerr 100% of the credit. Phoenix Suns are on a 10-game winning streak, and Monty Williams is doing great, especially with DeAndre Ayton out. But he's back now.
He's back now. Yeah,
Phoenix Suns are on a tear right now, and they can't be beat. So they're going crazy. I got Steve Kerr and Monty Williams tied for number two. If I had to choose one to go in honorable mentions, it'll have to be Steve Kerr.
Okay. I think I know who your number one is. And I'm pretty sure your number one is my number two. But correct me if I'm wrong, if this isn't actually number one. But I have Wes Unseld Jr. from the Washington Wizards as my number two.
Wes Unseld's my number one.
And I believe he's done a great job with the Washington Wizards. I mean, who would have thought that the Washington Wizards would be in the position that they are? I thought they were going to be one of the bottom feeder teams in the Eastern Conference. I don't believe I even had them in my top 10. Did that? I don't think I had them in my top 10.
I didn't have them in my top 10. I had them just out of it.
But they've been proving me wrong. They play as a unit, a collective. It's just a great brand of basketball. And I think a lot of the credit has to go to Wes Unseld Jr. And with that being said, number one is Steve Kerr for me. I know I have the same concerns. Is it the coach or is it the rotation? But also at the same time, I feel like it's his game plan of that whole Stephen Curry type of play that he's instilled into guys like Damian Lee. But that's who I'd have at one and two. I don't really have that much to say about these candidates. They're obviously the best of the best.
I got a controversial one in this
one. You got a controversial one. We'll hear it because
I want to make you say what?
I think I know who it might be, but I went pretty safe with my options. They're kind of the standard people. At number three, I have Nikola Jokic, the reigning MVP. He's had a great season for those that aren't keeping up with the Denver Nuggets. I mean, he's on pace to have the exact same stats as he did last year, maybe if not better. And that he's doing this with a much more worse team than he did last year.
Jokic is not in my top three.
I think I know who your number three is.
Maybe not. Maybe let's see if I surprise you. The reason I don't have Jokic in my top three is like, I just thought of like the what ifs. I'm like, what if Jamal Murray was back? And what if Michael Porter was living up to his expectations? What if no one was injured on the Nuggets? What would Jokic's stats be? Would they be the same? Or would they be a little bit off? But the way he's playing right now, he's definitely a top three player. But there's someone that I'm eyeing a little bit more than Jokic, even though he's playing amazing. I got Jimmy Butler at number
three. That's a really good one, actually.
I got really Jimmy Butler at number three. If you talk about striving for greatness and having a get down and dirty mentality, that's Jimmy Butler. I think watching a lot of YouTube videos about him and some biopics, his uprising had a little bit to do with me picking him at number three because I've been watching YouTube clips on him lately. But man, oh man, he is truly the leader.
I thought you were gonna put DeMar. I like that though, and I can applaud that because he'd probably be my honorable mention or really right under Jokic by like a centimeter for that number three spot. But at number two, I think number two and one are kind of consensus with everyone. I guess it depends on the order, but I would be shocked if you didn't have who I thought you would at number one.
Let's see if I'm going to shock you.
There's no way you don't have him at number one. But at number two, I have Kevin Durant. I think KD has been great, obviously, without Kyrie. James Harden had a slow start, but he's leading the league in points, I think, around almost 30, about 29. Might not be the same right now because someone else has been turning up. But KD, what else is there to say? He's the greatest scorer that the game has ever seen. Yeah. And I'm not even saying one of. He is the greatest scorer that the game has ever seen. Nothing left to say about KD.
I got Durant number two as well. Mike dropped nothing to say. He looks outstanding. And Brooklyn fans, just, you know, just there's a lot of sunlight. Just, you know, just see the view. See the basketball go swish.
But that's what we got at number two. And I think number one is consensus. Because if it isn't Malik, I am going to be really disappointed in
Let's see. Let's see. I might shock you.
You won't. There's no way. I trust you. But it has to be probably, I would say, he's not even human. But I got to go with Wardell, Stephen Curry. I mean.
Uh-oh.
Don't even try this, Malik. I'm not playing with you right now. Steph Curry has been the best show in basketball. And I think right now, people didn't like him before because of, might have not liked him because of the whole KD Warriors. But I think he is probably one of the most loved players in the NBA right now because everyone's understanding that what they're seeing is not normal. And it most likely will never happen again. That this is the best shooter in NBA history. And what he's doing is insane,
man.
And Malik, if you don't say Stephen Curry is the number one, I'm gonna walk out. I'm gonna end this episode right here, right now. If you don't say he's your number one,
my first spot. Drum roll, please. I got. Wait for it. Ben Simmons, his agent.
Oh my goodness.
I'm only kidding. I got Stephen Curry at number one. Oh. No, of course I got Stephen Curry. when I made the CC, I made Nikki Mike drop because the Ben Simmons, he was laughing so hard. He's laughing so hard that he's like, oh my god, maybe I should change my pick to Ben Simmons.
Oh my goodness. I should have.
But you know, when I made this list, Rookie of the MVP, six man, yeah, I write down my top three. Steph Curry was there already automatically. I'm like, yeah, he's gonna be number one for MVP. I don't have to think about that.
I hope everyone else enjoyed it. The Hearing Our Awards. We might retouch on these mid-season. Maybe not. We'll see when the time comes.
Easier.
But I think that should wrap up everything that we have today. We've had a long episode. Make sure to follow us on Instagram. My Instagram is Nakeem Khan. Full last name Nakeem. Last name Khan. Just add those together. Boom, got my Instagram. Malik, boom, how boom. Can they reach you?
M to the A to the L-I-K. Capital M32001. Yes.
They're going to add something else, but that's the way to reach us. We thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Hoop Central podcast right here on Spirit Live, and we will see you all next week. Take it easy.
Peace out.